with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Dearest gentle listener, you are cordially invited to Go Touch Grass's first ever Tea Party Brunch event, taking place Saturday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village for an afternoon of sipping tea, spilling guts, and generally lamenting the state of the world. So, grab your besties, wear your florals, and snag your tickets to tea. Ticketing details available at patreon.com/gotouchgrass. Ta-ta!
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Literally anything else. And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we have a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week's search history, researched by Millie, is on the tragedy of Remy Bader.
Wow, wow, wow. What a tragic figure.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was a lot. A very interesting episode. And you can check it out on our Patreon. You can also buy the episodes individually, get a taste of the Patreon, and then you're going to want to come back and subscribe.
Yeah, and guys, just a little kind of sentence about that is, influencing is not for everybody.
Influencing is not for everybody.
But it's for us because, listen, guys, if you want to fuck with us, if you love us, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But really, the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know we're online.
And as you know, 2025 is the year of Go Touch Grass on YouTube. After this episode comes out on Wednesday, there will be a video version out on Saturday on our YouTube page. The episodes are a little bit longer. Yeah. You get some extras. Millie throws the videos in. Yeah. It's a real fun time, so go check us out on YouTube.
You can see our cute outfits.
You can see our cute outfits.
I'm very cute today, and you know, you're on the audio, you can't hear that.
Yeah, I have a cool wolf shirt on.
She's got a wolf shirt on. I would have thought a cat, but that's
it's a wolf. It's a wolf.
It's a wolf. Speaking of wolves, we have tickets to our tea party now happening on May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village. Tickets are limited, so if you're planning to get them now
get
on our
now.
Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting our goodie bags together.
Yeah.
Supposedly, people in our family are coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hodgepodge of really great, amazing people. The drag queen's going to be fucking sick.
Yeah, the food is going to be great. So get those tickets.
Get those tickets. And speaking of new friends, mm-hmm. new family. Things that are great. We have in studio with us writer, director, comedian, YouTuber, mental health advocate, podcaster, but more importantly for me, relationship coach, welcome to the studio, Allison Raskin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Are we sure that's not a tiger on your shirt?
I'm thinking it's tiger.
I think
it's a lynx.
Yeah, that's not a wolf.
That's not a wolf, Elise. Look at the nose.
It's not a wolf. I've had this shirt for like over 10 years and I've called it my wolf shirt.
No, it's not a wolf.
I mean, it can be your wolf shirt.
No, you're right. It is a tiger.
It's fully a tiger.
It's fully
Sometimes
a tiger.
Sometimes I'm just like, yeah.
And these are things that will hit harder on the YouTube.
But this is like, you know what? And what I love about working with Elise, she'll admit when she's wrong.
Yeah, I'll just be like, nope, that's correct.
That's so nice for you because my co-host on my podcast loves to double down.
Oh, no.
He won't even believe what he's saying, but he just wants to dig his little heels in.
No. That's not the vibe here at all. And I mean, this is coming from like, I did proudly claim that there was that 36 hours was 3 days.
Yeah.
And our engineer producer did have to say, Millie, 36 hours is not, there's 24 hours in the day.
So, yeah, we got really confused. There was a prolonged confusion over time.
Because Justin Bieber posted 57 Instagram story posts in 36 hours. And I'm like, that's not that bad. That's 3 days. It's not three days.
No, it's just a little over one day. But I will say, I do pride myself on the fact that, like, yeah, I will quite confidently say something very wrong. Like, this is a wolf when it's actually a tiger. And that's clear to everyone with eyes. But I will, with humility, immediately take it back and be like, absolutely, you are correct.
I'm very like, yeah, I'm wrong a lot, but I expect to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, no one should be right.
You know, like,
you know what? Trump, maybe listen to this, take it to heart.
Yeah.
Trump listens. Trump is in
he's on the YouTube. He's commenting.
On the YouTube. Yeah, he's commenting. He's commenting about the Bitcoin AI. We got an AI slob comment the other day.
Yeah, because our last episode had Bitcoin in the title. And so I think now it activated Bitcoin-related bots to be commenting. Like, one of the comments is like, thanks for the forecast. My wallet has blah, 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 blah. And it's like, we're not talking about Bitcoin in any way, in any real way.
But the spa that's heated by Bitcoin.
Yeah, we talked about a spa that is heated by the power created by Bitcoin. There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on. There's no way
I don't really want to know. It seems
upsetting. We already told you too much. Yeah. Don't listen to any more of it.
As someone who's visited that spa many times, it's a lot. Like, but I think it's a good entry-level spa for someone who's never been to a spa before.
Okay.
It's a good entry-level spa.
I also feel like spas are not that complicated.
Well,
do we need, like, we need an entry level?
Well, I think that spas aren't complicated, but I think the idea of, like, being naked in front of other people.
Oh, that's a really great point.
Being in close proximity, like, having spa etiquette, showering before you enter a shared tub.
Oh, so true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All those things, like, there are, and there's etiquette. You can't be talking a lot. People are going there to relax. So entry level in that way.
Right.
Of like, and there's, we're a society, American society is not oriented in like relaxing, taking time off in groups.
Following community rules.
Yeah.
And well, being like naked and chill about it.
Naked and chill about it. Yeah. It's not a thing. So that's what I mean, entry level.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah.
I went to a spa. I went on my honeymoon to Italy and I went to this Italian spa.
Italian spas are good.
Well, listen, this is what happens here. And so I wanted a body scrub because I like prefer that to just a massage. Mm-hmm. And I walk into the room and there's like, imagine, you know, like what a shower head looks like. But imagine that it's like a huge rectangle the length of a person's body. And I'm like, is this the body scrub? And she's like, yes, yes. And like, get on the table. And I get on the table and it proceeds to shoot hot. It proceeds to shoot hot. Cold, freezing, water, different temperatures, different amounts, different parts of my body. It was like,
so no one was scrubbing you.
Well, while she was scrubbing.
Oh.
But it's also blasting you.
But it's
you
blasting.
With...
And so you can't relax because you have no idea what temperature water is going to hit you at any point. And then in the middle, she made me turn over and she gave me a face guard, like a huge face guard, because the water was so powerful shooting at me. It was horrifying.
I mean, to be fair, any body scrub that I've gotten, none of it is relaxing. It's not a relaxing thing. Like, the body scrub I got was, like, in a Korean spa. Like, it's a Korean lady in lingerie, like, scrubbing my booty hole.
Yeah.
Like, to, you know, getting detailed.
But I actually prefer that. I prefer it at the Korean spas because they'll go everywhere.
They'll open
your
legs.
I want my body scrub. Yeah. I don't want to, like, pretend I don't have a chest or certain parts or, like, I want to be.
So you were in a car wash, basically.
Yeah, that's
exactly it. Because I was like, I think what would disorient me, because when I'm getting scrubbed, I'm like, scrub me down. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
But the shooting water would be very disorienting. Allison, we are so excited to have you. You have had an amazing career spanning from, you've done content creation, you've written books about how to navigate dating with anxiety and OCD. Now you just wrote a romance novel based on your life as well. So, okay, our first question for you is, how do you decide when you want to pivot and try something new? Was getting published and being a novelist always the goal? Like, how did you come to find the different paths that your career has gone down?
I will do anything people will pay me to do.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think I left film school being like, I'm going to be a comedy TV writer. And then it was like, that's the one thing no one will hire me to do. I've developed like four different shows and I've never even been staffed or had a staff meeting. It's like bananas. So you just have to like follow what works. And so I've just tried writing in like every single format that exists. And I've been really lucky to like be able to do it in a lot of different ways. And it's really exciting now to have the rom-com novel out, Save the Date, because that feels like, oh, this makes sense. Like, you know, it kind of like came about just because I had this bonkers thing happen to me and I was like, this could be a great book. And like,
what was the bonkers thing?
Yeah, give us a little taste.
Because I know because I Googled you, but you know, maybe our listeners might want to know what the bonkers thing was.
So I got engaged in May of 2020. And then 6 months later, my fiance just like abruptly left with like little to no explanation. And this was like,
he gone girled you?
Kind of.
Oh my gosh.
Well, no, because she wanted to stay.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
She actually loved him too much.
Wow.
She was just playing her little game.
Right. Yeah. And she won.
And she won big time. She won.
Wow.
And then, you know, it was also just like so ridiculous that this had happened because I was in the middle of working on my first nonfiction book, Overthinking About You. Mm-hmm. And I'd been giving relationship advice on the internet. And I like was like, oh, like, how did I not know that my fiance had fallen out of love with me? That's like both like personally devastating and then like professionally devastating.
No, it is wild to be in that position where like you have, you know, you're doling out advice to other people and then you're going through this in your personal life. Did you choose to share it at the time or like how did you navigate being like,
oh yeah.
So I guess at a certain point, people are going to notice if the fiance is gone and you're no longer getting married. So yeah, how did you navigate doing that?
I waited about a week because I was like, he's going to come back.
Yeah, they always, but it's never the ones you want that come back. They always come back, but it's always the worst
ones. I've only had one come back in my whole life.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've dated a lot of
people. They always come back for me, but it's always the worst
yeah.
ones. And I'm like, I don't know if I should be insulted or if this is a testament to like you being awesome.
Spoiler, he didn't. And so I was like, okay, I got to address this because I write about my life and I have a weekly podcast. I have a Substack. I'm constantly sharing.
She's content.
So,
everything is content.
Yeah, gotta mine
gotta make it.
and so I had to sort of address it. So I had to like do a, I got publicly left post. what was wild was so many people had similar situations. Like I did not realize how many people just get left with like no like warning, no real explanation, like long-term, like committed relationships. And so
that is wild.
It was really bananas. And it was also very healing. Like,
yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like I learned so much from other people who had been through something similar. And I hope people, you know, got some help from me. And and then I went home to New York because I live in LA and my dad started making jokes where he was like, well, why don't you just find a new groom in time for your original wedding? And I said, Dad, a real person can't do that, but that's a good idea for a book.
And then there we have Save the Date. Yeah. Out now,
yes.
Well, that's awesome. That's like awesome. I feel like that's every dad's dream is to like be like, I have an idea for a skit. And you're like,
he's been milking this.
Oh my
actually,
God.
That's pretty good, Dad.
Oh, my God. My dad would be like, hey, you know who's buying TV shows? Netflix. And I'm like, thanks, Poppy. I never thought to pitch to Netflix before.
I know I just had a book event at the Strand and my grandpa's girlfriend came and I
not it, grandpa's it, girlfriend.
You don't even the drama that is my family's personal life right now. But she comes over and she's like, you know, you should do stand up. And I want to be like, I did stand up for years.
You
didn't know me then. Like, I should have been like, I have never thought of that.
Yeah, no, that's not where I come from at all.
Yeah,
it's totally. Like,
yeah, it's like, hey, this thing that you had a lot of joy doing, what if you did it in front of the most miserable people in your life forever? Speaking of miserable people.
Oh, yes.
Allison, you got your start in media at BuzzFeed. That's
like a transition.
I'm just kidding. But it's interesting now because there's so much conversation on the internet kind of idolizing BuzzFeed millennials, and there's like a lot of like, I wish I worked in BuzzFeed in their heyday and stuff like that. And you're somebody who had your career in the quote unquote BuzzFeed heyday. So how does it feel kind of looking, like thinking about where you were then and thinking about it now and being like, whoa, like, I can't believe you. Yeah, I'm just curious. How does that feel? Like something that was part of your life is now like being celebrated.
I wouldn't have a career, I think, if I hadn't gotten that like that shot at BuzzFeed. And so when people are like, how do I become a writer? And I'm like, I don't know, get randomly hired at BuzzFeed Video in 2014. Like, yeah. That's the thing that like 100% like got us in rooms, grew our own YouTube channel. Yeah. Like it just opened the door for everything that came since. So it was like a really interesting experience because the first part of working at BuzzFeed, I was like the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. It was like unbelievable. But then I got kind of like siloed literally in an attic where I was in the scripted department. And for whatever reason, my boss, awful guy, don't even cut that.
You should know like, that you were awful to me. And I still think about it quite a bit.
Wow. He listened.
Yeah.
You heard it.
Well, at him. Listen, we don't give a
like
fuck.
The head of some tech company now. Who knows?
Of course.
And so he was like, you can't be in regular videos anymore. And I was like, okay, why? But our department isn't making any videos. And he's like, right. So I just like wasn't allowed to do anything for a bit. And it became just like really frustrating and like, and then at that period of time, BuzzFeed's whole thing was like, you cannot do anything other than BuzzFeed. Like,
I remember this.
Like, people would get fired for doing other stuff. And so my comedy partner and I, Gabe Dunn, we ended up selling a show to MTV, and which is another wild story. But
another media company.
Yeah.
That another,
yeah. And so we just quit because we were like, we got it. We can't turn down having our own show.
Yeah. Wow. You saying that reminds me of a bunch of discourse online back in the day about exactly that, mm-hmm. that BuzzFeed's contract was so intensely strict that anyone who worked for them, you couldn't do anything else, which is and so.
We were like the first, like, you know, super on camera people to like leave like that, mm-hmm. and like everyone was so mad at us, and then like they just like totally changed the rules and suddenly you could like do other things and it was fine, and then everyone left and it was like
wow. I wonder if the reason I heard that discourse was because you left, and I'm like remembering it back from that time, and I just did not like realize. But it is so interesting. I was just listening to Quinta Brunson on Amy Poehler's podcast talking about
that pissed off a lot of people. Her
What'd
talking.
She say?
Well, people, you know, a lot of Black Twitter. She said like she doesn't know white people, and everyone's like, "You were married to a white guy for like, years, so let's just relax." But
on the podcast, she was talking about BuzzFeed, and she like, I guess like the conceit of the podcast is like Amy Poehler will like talk to a couple people who knew you before, and so and like have them. Give her questions that she'll then ask in the interview. And like most of the people for Quinta were BuzzFeed. And there was a lot of talk about just how like it was this brand new thing. It was this way to like get yourself on camera and in front of people and write a show and do all this stuff and create. She kept referring to it as like another stage. Like, why would you turn down another stage? Yeah. This is another stage. Why would you like why would you turn it down basically? And I was like, that is. Especially then what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was someone where like you just were like, oh, my God, this one person is so talented.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a lot of amazing talent like at the company at that time. And I'm sure still now, you know, but like it was like you were getting to work with people who were just like so gifted comedically and on camera and also just like direct, like amazing behind the scenes people, like amazing cinematographers, amazing directors. Like it was like a really, I think that the people making the videos were unbelievable and management was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens.
And it's just like part of kind of the instability or the toughness about creating content is like now, instead of like going through a media company, everyone makes their own and like has to be their own media company. But it is nice to think of like, oh, I'm getting paid a salary and have benefits and I still get to create things and do things and like live a fun life that's kind of balanced, you know, and have a career. But like, you know, management's always.
I know. It's like then the suits get involved and they don't understand what makes anything good. All they understand is like repeating stuff.
Yeah.
So they're just like, well, that went viral. So make that again 25 times. And it's like, okay, well, it's actually not fun for me as a creative person to make the same thing a million times. And also the reason it went viral was because it was new and interesting and fun and had an authentic voice and like wasn't actually secretly an ad for your brand of coffee or something that you're trying to like sell your like proprietary weird seltzer brand or whatever. So like, I just feel like I've seen that at so many companies, theaters, different places where it's just like the creatives that are making stuff are so cool and so great. And then there's like one guy named Josh who apparently is in charge of everything and has the worst ideas in the world and ruins everything. Yeah.
That guy was my boss.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of bosses, let's get into the discourse this week.
Hell yeah.
So this week's discourse, Allison, since one of your many things that you get paid for is a relationship coach, we found this story that we hope is super right up your alley. So this week we are talking about this viral video that came out and it sparked this discourse about how much is too much to spend on dating coaches.
Oh, that's very interesting for me.
So this TikTok creator, Shirley Vernet, she is New York based. She has about 3,000 TikTok followers. She says on almost every video, "Hi, I'm the CEO of a seven-figure content studio and blah blah blah." So that's
whenever
kind of,
somebody says something like that, I do go look at how many followers
they have. I guess
my understanding is that she worked in ad agencies.
Okay.
Maybe she's produced a bunch of commercials, she produced a bunch of ads, she produced a bunch of videos, and now she's trying to use that as a way to make herself like her own personal brand.
Got it.
And like, so herself, she doesn't have that many followers, but that doesn't mean that she hasn't like made an ad for Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
So let's watch the video that started it all.
I'm 39. I had not been on one date in 2 years. Then I invested $10,000 into my dating coach. Shout out to Anwar White. I met my fiance a year ago. He proposed 2 months ago. And now we're getting married in 5 months. So I'm going to finish telling you the iconic engagement story. After that, I'm going to use this page to help you become the CEO of your love life. But first, let's talk investments. People will spend $20,000 on Dr. Miami, $100,000 on higher education, but there are some people in my comments literally cringing at the idea of investing their money and protecting their hearts and their future love lives. So I know the cost. I literally wasted 13 years of my youth on a man because I was not educated on how to date, how to choose wisely, how to pick with intention and clarity. And that comes with consequences. Having children with someone who doesn't show up, wasting years in a low vibrational relationship, letting your emotions allow you to crash out and lead you away from your purpose, being delulu about the red flag. So as a CEO of a seven-figure content studio, I'm now the CEO of my love life. And I lead my love life with wisdom. Your literal life depends on who you choose. So I encourage you to choose wisely.
I can do 45 minutes on this.
Good.
All my thoughts are not bad, I will say. I actually agree with a lot of what she said. I think that often the person you pick to be your life partner that's one of the most important decisions you make. It has a huge impact on your quality of life, on your future, what your mental health and physical health look like. So being really intentional around dating and also being aware around what you want and how you're going to go about doing that and, you know, what you're looking for, what you actually value, huge. Do I think you need to give $10,000 to a dating coach? Not really. You know, when I started my coaching business, it was really important to me not to do packages because I didn't want people to just like be locked into this thing that might not be helping them.
Yeah.
And so I do a weekly model or I do a per session model, which so like it's, you know, I'm not a licensed therapist, but the way that you work with me is like rather similar in that we can do weekly, we can do every other week. I have a couple I see once a month, you know, and I put in my intake form, I'm like, will you be comfortable telling me if I'm not helping?
Right? That's so important, though.
You're not a licensed therapist, but you do, did study psychology.
I have a master's in psychology. Yeah.
Like I do want to see.
Yes, I have a master's in psychology. I've written two books about the intersection of mental health and relationships. And so I call myself a relationship coach rather than a dating coach because I'm often dealing with people who are in relationships. Mm. And it's really about how do we navigate this in a way that isn't as scary and dangerous? How do we like learn those things that she was talking about? Like how to like be more in control of ourselves in moments, more emotionally regulated, more aware of our triggers, better understanding of their triggers, like all the stuff you kind of, you know, if you've watched Showtime's Couples Therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
But also working with individuals on that too. So I actually am like a huge proponent of like, it does make sense to spend time and resources on this part of your life.
Yeah.
And I also think for certain people, it makes sense to spend money on matchmakers. But what you don't want is you don't want predatory experts. Yeah. You don't want people where like the rate is so vastly inflated. Or what they're promising you is like, and you will be married within a year.
Yeah.
Like I would never, I don't make any promises to my clients. Yeah. I'm like, my goal is that you have like a better understanding of how your brain works and that this becomes less, like in some ways less difficult, or that we're able to find some clarity.
Yeah.
Like clarity feels more possible than like an outcome. If that makes sense.
Totally. Like to promise actually something outside of just the person who you're speaking to is there's just no way someone could ethically promise that. This is actually reminding me. So I'm on a couple Reddit pages for tarot card readers. Wow. That's kind of where I'm at. And
tarot Reddit has to be so crazy.
Tarot Reddit is crazy. But one of the things that I have learned from perusing tarot Reddit is that like the true, real, ethical tarot readers, they will kind of do what you were saying. Like they won't let you come back to them too often and ask the same question over and over and over again because there's kind of this thought process of like, you need to sit with what the results were and like an idea. And it is probably true that like people get addicted to going back and like getting new predictions and asking the question a different way. And if you are an ethical practitioner of the tarot, you will say, you've seen me too much lately and you need to like go and be and live your life and you can come back. We can check in. I saw one guy be like, I won't do more than like two sessions in 6 months. Like I'll do an initial and maybe one follow up. And then like you can't see me again for 6 months because you have to go live the cards out in the world.
So let's talk about some reactions that this got.
Yes.
This went insanely viral. Lots of people were talking about it. And even in the comments, let's read some comments. I'm going to take $10,000 and put it into a high yield savings account. But congratulations, boo.
I'm a proponent of the high yield savings
account.
You
love a high yield savings account.
Call me Miss Nerd Wallet. I love them.
These dating coaches prey on the fact that women are desperate for a life partner because a man 8 out of 10 would never, like 8 out of 10 times, would never do this. They know women and they are scaling the field just to see how far you'll go for a man. So that's from Joe. Let's see. The cost of choosing the wrong partner is way more than $10,000. Congrats. And then the last thing I'll put, I like Anwar White, but 10K exasperated face. So,
you know, but I'm also wondering, like, was it a 10K package or was she spending $300 a week on a weekly session with a dating coach, you know? And so like a lot of therapists, like if you, you know, like my friend was just saying she spent $6,000 on her therapist last year.
Yeah.
And like, that's just like the way like that kind of weekly cost kind of, especially because it's not covered by insurance, will like creep up. But if it's a package, then that feels not so ethical and nice to me.
Yeah, well, that does feel like a piece of information that I would like to know.
Right.
Well, let's get there.
And just so people know, I don't charge $300. I charge
$150. Well, there we go. There we go. So, again, it was revealed that she used TikTok dating coach Anwar White. So I don't know if you're familiar with Anwar White. Dating coach Anwar White starts almost every video by saying that he specializes in getting, quote, Black and brown women into relationships. So he's like super, super popular. He has this like very niche market, and he has 950,000 followers on TikTok, 56,000 subscribers on YouTube, and 344,000 subscribers on followers on Instagram.
We'd take those numbers.
We'd take those numbers in a second. So again, it's not just that he's speaking to a very specific, like to a group of women that have very specific experiences around dating, but he has like a sense of humor. He like talks to you. He's gay and he's like, girl, you're going to blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And he calls himself your fairy godbrother. So he's like leaning into this like parasocial, like friendship. And, you know, his approachable yet knowledgeable tone immediately makes you feel at ease. This is from an article. Even if he's saying things that you might not want to hear. So his videos always go insanely viral. And it's often because he's speaking, again, directly to a group of women that doesn't get spoken to often. I think a lot of the fascism that we're seeing today is a result of the very real reality that men are being left behind in this country. They're not going to college as much. They're not getting higher degrees. They're not even going to bachelor's. The numbers of getting master's and PhDs are outweighed. Women are earning more. And that's especially true in Black and brown women in this generation coming up. You know, so, and having that reality coupled with like the actual like educational and financial reality and power that a lot of Black and brown women are having and experiencing, coupled with the very real misogyny and like all these patriarchal things of like the man should earn more, the man needs to be like, it can make it very difficult for a Black/brown woman to meet a partner who
isn't threatened.
So it can be very hard to find that. So he's often going viral for saying like, if you want, like, here's a way, you know, he's encouraging people to, like, kind of date different races. If you're plus size, you should be going after these guys. He had this whole thing. One of his very viral videos were, like, how to tell if your man's DL, which is, like, secretly gay, and, like, these signs. And it's, like, I mean, some of them, it was funny because it's, like, if he hates his mom a lot, if he's Black and he hates his mom, gay, or something like that. So that's kind of the vibe of his stuff, right? So I went on his website, the website Get Your Guy Coaching Course, right? So there's a variety of ways to learn and work with him. So there's the Dating Strategy Starter Course, which is $149. And that includes how to become the CEO of your love life, his online dating strategy, what to do on each date, how to talk with men, and how to meet men in real life.
Okay.
So that's the $149.
I think that's
course.
Like you're watching a video.
I think it's like five videos. Okay, that
yeah.
He has.
But he doesn't talk to you specifically.
He doesn't talk to you. So that one is $149.
What and that's the starter course.
That's the starter.
I mean, that doesn't feel like crazy expensive to me in any way. I will say one thing that is really, just really unsettling me is the idea of being the CEO of your love life. There's like a hustle culture.
Yeah.
It's very much, it reminds me of the viral morning and night routine, like treating every aspect of your life like it's like an entrepreneurial endeavor and business is
a
little.
It's pushing against though a harmful narrative, which is that love just happens to you.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I think that that's where people get so hung up is it'll be like, but everyone says when I'm not looking, that's when I'll find it.
Yeah.
And it's like, when has that worked for you in any other aspect of your life? You're not like, I need a new job. I can't wait to find one or for one to come to me.
Yeah. Like, and I think that the language of CEO love life to me, because this girl, Shirley, she made a 25 or 22 part series on TikTok about like all of her findings and the whole thing. And we'll talk more about that. But basically, it is like CEO of your love life is interesting. But I think that when she talks about the strategies, it sounds more like HR of your love life. Because she's like, first you put people through this round. If they meet this round. And like, she's like, here are specific questions that he gave me to ask when I'm doing the initial on app. And then this, if they pass this, then they go to this level, which is the phone call. And then this level, which is... So it's like treating it like a job, which, you know, part of me is like, this is late stage capitalism. This, how are we going to whatever? And the other part of me is like, yeah, like so much of dating is a lot of rejection. It's a lot of stuff, but it's like, it is complicated and it is effort. And I think that there's so much of like, oh, it'll happen naturally or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, this is a conscious choice and this is a practice. And organically through my therapist, I had to learn like how to date.
Yeah.
Like, and there's so much internal stuff that you have to get over of like, you have to first get over that, like the idea that you're attractive, you're enough, you're this, you're that. Like, you have to get through all of that just to be able to be present in the dating thing, which a lot of people haven't even gotten there. And then once you're there, you're like, okay, but who is this other person? What are they like? Like, are they meeting? Like, and my therapist was like, why don't you write down everything you want and see if this guy that you're meeting is meeting up with the list that you made. And it's like, that sounds so simple, but like, people don't tell you that. Like,
no, yeah, I talk about that all the time. I'm like, we don't know how to be in relationships with each other.
We don't know how to find
We don't know how to find people. Like, I actually think like breaking it down into these kinds of chunks is really helpful. And also it prevents burnout. So
yeah,
I think it's really important, especially in app culture, to date productively.
Yeah.
So that you're not wasting time and then feeling choice overload, feeling like
choice
really
overload,
burnt out, like having such a negative connotation with dating because you're having so many bad experiences back to back.
Yeah.
But if you can be more mindful of what you're choosing to engage with and who you're choosing to engage with, then you're narrowing the amount of experiences.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's taking up less of your time. You're having a better time. It's not as like awful. Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. So the full Get Your Guy coaching course is $497. And the Get Your Guy full course is 45 hours long. And it includes the following modules: how to date with strategy, how to set dating boundaries, how to be vulnerable, how to have a solid mindset, get clear on your needs, learn about feminine energy, heal inner child wounds. So that's $497.
My problem with this is that it's all one size fits all.
Yeah.
And I think that this is really tough work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people, like, everyone's context matters so much. Like, I'm not going to have the same approach with one client as I am with another client because I have totally different family histories, totally different relationship histories, different mental health issues. So, you know, I think it can be frustrating with this kind of like, and this is exactly what you do, because that just like might not work for you.
Yeah.
And then you think you're the problem.
Yeah. Well, you could enter in the Get Your Guy Club, which is a 12-month self-paced membership. And the Get Your Guy Club is $3,000 or 12 monthly payments of $300. And it's the 12-month self-paced program, including one weekly group Q&A session, the Get Your Guy online course, and Facebook group access. And that's $3,000. And if you want to actually speak to him, then you got to Get Your Guy VIP program, which is a 6-month intensive for $7,000 or 12 monthly payments of $700. And that's a 12-month intensive weekly one-on-ones, 24/7 direct access to Coach Anwar, two weekly group sessions, Get Your Guy online course, and a Facebook group. So, and he does all kinds of private coaching. So let's watch a little video of Anwar White, and then we'll chat about what we think.
Whatever you've been taught about dating, I want you to do the complete opposite of it. Why do I say this? Because most of the advice, the programming conditioning that you're taught in Disney movies or rom-coms are wrong and keep you disempowered. So I wanted to share with you what I've learned as a dating coach for 13 or 14 years now. And as your fairy godbrother, what I have learned that helped my clients go from, you know, upset and frustrated and single to booed up, happy and ready to rock and roll, because they've learned how to do it differently for a different result. You got to do the opposite. So what does this mean? It means that, girl, if you have butterflies, that is a bad sign. That's a stress response. And you shouldn't be feeling that with the guy. And if you do, he's not it. And if he were it, you would be with the guy that is giving you butterflies, but you probably aren't. Number two, if you are having sex with guys because you think that they're going to like you more when you do that, please understand that they're actually going to like you less because chemically their bonding hormone, their vasopressin is going to decrease, which is going to make them want to disconnect with you. Three, if a guy is calling you unscheduled, he doesn't care about you. He's not thinking about you and prioritizing your convenience. He's thinking about what's convenient for him, and he's probably not the guy for you. Four, if he is making moves on you on the first date, he's probably grooming you, which means that... As someone who gets women into relationships every week, oftentimes I hear, he didn't make a move on me until date two or three or even four. Those guys overly respect your boundaries. That's husband material. Number five, if you are thinking that you need to be some guy's piece, don't do it, girl. You want to stress him out. Why do I say this? Because when you stress a guy out, his vasopressin will increase and he will actually feel more.
I like can't watch this.
Yeah. We'll cut it off here. I wanted to get there.
I mean, I disagreed with every single thing that happened. And it is really fun. This is one of my favorite fucking things is when people use fake science to try to justify. Yeah. So like the fact that vasopressin factored in twice and I'm like, this is fake. Okay, I'll give it over to the actual expert, but I was just like, not one thing that was said in that did I agree with.
I think this also shows like the problem of social media impacting things, because if he doesn't say outlandish stuff, it's not going to go viral.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Like if he doesn't open with that huge claim of you've got to be doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
People are going to like keep scrolling.
Yeah.
You know, so like a lot of times I'll be like, well, I can't really make a video about how important it is to just really understand people's context.
Yeah.
And the nuance. And
those things don't lend itself to being clickable.
Exactly.
And clickbaity. It's like if a guy sleeps with you, he doesn't like you.
I know. And I'm also like, until what point? Like, is my husband not allowed to call me unscheduled?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, also, if a guy makes a move on you, he's grooming you.
It's like a misunderstanding of grooming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, first of all, I mean, grooming is so many things, but it's like a date is like a mutually agreed upon romantic
and there
scenario.
Should hopefully be a equal balance of power in a date.
No, if the move is. If it's a really big move that was not invited, that maybe shows that person's boundaries are weird or isn't the right person for you. But like, if a guy on a date, but is it like what? I guess my question is like, what are you defining as a move? If he tries to kiss you, if he puts his arm around you,
he's just using buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
Because people know that grooming is like people have like a visceral reaction to grooming, and so it's ridiculous. It's very manipulative. And I just hate, like, it's just setting us back so far because it's continuing, like, the purity culture.
Yeah.
That, like, that sex makes you dirty, that men won't want women who've had a certain amount of sex and partners, that it's something that, like, you should dole out to get what you want rather than it being something that you genuinely like and enjoy.
Yeah.
And so it's just like such harmful messaging on so many levels.
Mm. Right. It's like you should have sex with a guy when you want to have sex with him and you both want to have sex with each other. Like it doesn't need to be like a strategic deployment of sex.
That's a lot of like Steve Harvey's advice, which is why I wrote a whole like show where I dressed up as Steve Harvey and so whatever. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like all of his advice is like, you got to manipulate a guy. You can't have sex with the guy for the first 90 days.
It's also that like guys don't like you, right? It's like a lot of like guys don't actually want to talk to their wives. They don't actually want to hear what women have to say.
And I think it all goes back to like, if you don't like me, that's not my problem. I'm like, you know, that's kind of on you, you know, like if somebody doesn't like you, like there's kind of nothing you can do about it. Like you can't manipulate them or withhold or something to get them to like you. Like if somebody's just interested in the chase, that's not someone I want to be in a relationship with. That's not someone who's good to be in a relationship with long term.
And I want the person that I'm in a relationship with to just kind of like me. Like, yeah. I don't want them, like, I don't want to have to like do a bunch of tricks and then be like, haha, I've trapped you into liking me. I just want us to hit it off.
Yeah.
Like, in a nice way. I do agree that I think that it's important to be intentional about dating. I know a lot of people who just, I think, and we talked about this, I think, when we did the West Elm Caleb Patreon episode, people who it seems like they're addicted on going on app dates. Like,
well, it's been gamified.
Exactly.
And the apps, I did a research paper on this in grad school. Like, the apps are like meant to get you to kind of behave that way.
Yeah.
But also, like, there are people, which somebody else said in another video, but it's like the West Elm Caleb of it all is like, there are people whose hobby and joy is dating. Like, they don't have hobbies. They don't have community. They seek out intimacy, fun things. If they want to try a new restaurant, they'll go on a date and do it. If they want, like, that's what they're dating for. Right. And then other people are dating, trying to find a partner or trying to find someone to, like, continue to date, like, even if it's casually. But some people are just, like, trying to run through as many people and have all these stories and stuff.
Yeah, make these, like, quick romantic connections that are kind of all over the place. But so I do think it's valuable for people to get intentional, figure out what you want in a partner, feel comfortable asking them about that, figure out your boundaries, what you like, don't like. But I feel like when you talk about dating in the way that this guy just talked about it, it strips it of all of its fun and joy. Like,
and it strips you of your humanity.
Yeah.
Right? It makes it so that, like you were saying earlier, that you have to manipulate for anyone to want to be with you because you're a woman.
Like, your date shouldn't give you butterflies. That's why dating is, that's what's fun, is to meet someone and get, like, a feeling.
But that, like, that's the one that to me is, like, a case by case.
Right? Yeah.
Because for some people, it's I actually think the issue is more that when they don't have butterflies, they think that that means that the person isn't for them.
Yeah.
When really, like, sometimes the person you're going to end up being the most compatible with is the person you just feel so comfortable with.
Yeah.
Right away. But because of these narratives we've been told, it's like, well, if I'm this comfortable and I'm not getting butterflies, then I must just view them as a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see that for sure.
And something later, which I didn't necessarily disagree with, and it was something that my therapist told me in a session too, is like later in the video on where it says, you know, sometimes you get butterflies, but it's because the guy is like, not a narcissist, but like, it's very charismatic.
Mm-hmm,
and they'll
true.
Have a connection with any, like, you can't, he later says, like, you should be trying to find compatibility over chemistry. Don't know how I feel about like that specifically, but it's just like, some people can have chemistry with anybody. Like, that's how they, you know, and that's like just something that I have experienced. It's like, oh, I have such strong chemistry. And it's like, well, do they have like these guys? Like,
are you,
do they
both
have chemistry
just really
with
engaging,
anybody?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm also like, I have chemistry with everybody. Like, I can really turn it on and get real flirty and stuff. And then it's like a good banter, but it's like, but it doesn't really matter if like, you're not a safe place, if we're not looking for the same things, if we're not compatible, right. We just like have this cool, fun sexual energy and chemistry. So,
yeah, I mean, I totally get that. And I've definitely like, I have friends who almost didn't pursue relationships that ended up being like literally marriages because they didn't feel the butterflies right. initially. So I definitely think like, investigate your butterflies.
Mm.
But to just be like, you feel it, that's actually
bad.
I'm like, well, that is one of the joys of dating. Like, when dating is fun and dating is working, feeling some chemistry and butterflies is part of that too. Like, to just blanket
or
demonize.
I would just say it can be a part
of it.
Yeah,
it can be.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's like, you know, everyone reacts so differently and different people bring out different sides of us. So some people are going to have butterflies and it ends well. And some people are never going to have the butterflies and it still ends well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, let's just move on. Okay. So.
We're riled up enough.
We're riled up. So back to Shirley, right? So Shirley again made a 22-part series on TikToks about all her learnings through like whatever. So she said she didn't go on a date for 2 years. She was in a relationship for 13 years. Didn't go on a date. Didn't see anyone for 2 years. Started this thing. And then she revealed that she went on 170 dates. She went on 171st dates.
In how much time? I'm sorry.
I think maybe in like a year or something. She did went on 171st dates, met this guy that she likes. They got engaged. So her whole thing is like, she's the CEO of her love life. Mm-hmm. She's investing money in her life. Her counter argument is that she has spent a lot of money on self-improvement. So she did this video where she breaks down all the money she spent on improving herself. So she said she spent $26,000 on therapy, not to fix me because I'm perfect, whole and complete, but to regulate my nervous system, recognize patterns, and how to emotionally maintain the woman I'm becoming. She spent $45,000 on 30 plus conferences, all in my industry to get in rooms that stretch me where I can learn industry trends. She spent $6,000 on an executive coach. And again, he helped her become a better business person, whatever. Then she spent $6,000 on a life coach. She helped me audit my life in totality and figure out what my long-term goals are I wanted for in my life and put together a plan and action steps there. $3,000 on her current business coach. She helps me put structure and goals in support of the business overall vision. A lot of help with sales strategy so that the business doesn't just grow, it sustains. And then finally, she says she spent $10,000 on a dating coach to support a successful dating strategy with a proven framework to assess compatibility to help me funnel and filter qualified men to get me in a healthy, successful marriage. We've talked about like how helpful these modules and frameworks and strategies are. And, you know, CEO hustle culture kind of shit can be helpful in some ways. But I do feel like the CEO hustle culture grindification of dating, that the ultimate goal is to be married and it should be within a certain thing. And like, if you are not married, if you're not engaged, then like, it's a bad investment. I'm also like, does it really matter if this is a good marriage or how long it's going to last or whatever, if it's just like you're rushing towards marriage? But yeah, so hearing all this shit that she spent money on herself, do you feel like this is justifiable? What are you feeling now? Where are you guys at?
I will say that it is a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coaches.
She's obsessed with coaches.
And time spent in coaching. If she finds that super valuable, okay. I just was struck by the... like having a coach kind of for like every aspect. Yeah.
There's a shitting coach.
Yeah.
There's a breathing coach.
Like, I feel like maybe the life coach and the executive coach can be combined, or maybe the executive coach and the business coach can be combined. I'm confused.
I think it kind of was the same, but then she said my current business coach. Mm, so okay. Maybe it's her second
iteration of the business
coach. My whole thing with all this is, what's her income? Right. If she's like a millionaire and like this is like not that much money to her, like, great. OK, if you're enjoying this and this is what you like to do and it's not coming from this sense that you can't function on your own.
Yeah.
That like you desperately need this help versus more just like, hey, I have the resources. I enjoy it. I like to get other people's perspective. Fine. But if at any point that this is like financially harmful to her.
Yeah.
And then we're kind of tipping more into like some obsessionality around needing to be the best, to be the most heightened version of herself, you know, maximizing every element of her life. Mm. And that tips more into, I think, like the more maladaptive areas.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas if she makes, you know, $5 million a year and this is absolutely nothing to her, and she's also like pretty secure and, you know, making decisions without having to call up a coach first.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, because even like $26,000 on therapy, I'm like, yeah, if you're in therapy every like once a week and you're in all the time and maybe like your insurance doesn't cover it, like that's actually not that crazy. I don't live a life of going to conferences, so I can't say.
Honestly, that to me feels like the biggest.
Well, $45K to 30 plus conferences. That's
but also, it's like, how many years is right?
Right.
Like, is this over 15 years? I don't know.
Right.
All her videos are like 5 minutes long, so I didn't want to play this, but
yeah,
she breaks it down.
If it's over the course of her entire career, then it's like, okay, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Depends on the industry. Again, I'm not a conference girl. I'm not at conferences. But I did feel that perhaps we could truncate some of the amount of coaches.
Well, she needs a synchronized coach. A coach.
Yeah,
she needs
a time management coach.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She needs a coach for her coaches to coach them down to one less coach.
Yeah. A coach to coach the coaches. So we're going to go to one final counter argument, which is this creator that I really like, Cecilia Regina. I've probably cited her work before. She has 435,000 TikTok followers. She's one of my favorite feminist creators on the app. She analyzes old movies, old TV shows, pop culture, and viral moments like this, and points out the misogyny that exists in them. I will say that her stuff can border on misandry, but that's fine for me. But I will say she's also like the other extreme. This all makes me feel like we're in the movie The Lobster with the Yorgos movie, where it's like, half of it is like, you have to find the one or you're going to. And the other half is like, if you ever make a romantic connection, we will murder you.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. She says some interesting things. So let's watch like the first 2 minutes.
You see how expensive not decentering men is? I've been telling you all forever. The advice certain people give you is calculated to mislead, but you keep running from pillar to post looking for somebody who can promise you the secret sauce. And as this woman proved, they know you're vulnerable and they're going to feed you to their pipeline of nonsense. So she says in a different video, through Anwar, she went on 170 first dates. Now, I don't know, because it wasn't clear from the video, whether these were men she met through him, men she met on dating sites that he gave some insight into. But come, sisters, let us reason together. What I do know is that these 170 men were not vetted. Their criminal background hadn't been looked at. Their proclivities hadn't been examined. He couldn't promise they weren't violent. And above all, these are not men who are viewing you as the prize because you're paying 10 grand to meet them. Y'all keep falling for the same con because you would rather believe a pretty lie than an uncomfortable truth. These figurines are so beautiful, but they're fake. They're plastic. And that's what a lot of you all are going to end up with if you don't cut out this nonsense. I'm not fussing with everybody. I saw you all in her comments. Good job. Most of the girls are like, this is ridiculous. 10 grand for a man? A man should be seeking you at the very least. And why aren't we investing that money into self-improvement, into education, lifestyle, hobbies, owning property? I mean, we are about to hit a major, major recession. In fact, it's already begun. Save your money. From what I've seen of Anwar's content, it's ear candy. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while because he did block me. I think he's saying these center men giving you the real stats on the fairy tale are going to interrupt his bag. Because I did a little math. If 1,000 DeLulus give him 10 grand apiece, baby, that's $10 million. If only 100 girlies fall for this scam, that's $1 million. For the love of God, I need you to stop enriching people who profit from your insecurities. They are going to keep telling you lies to keep the money flowing in. Literally, every video I've seen from him is the same. Oh, demographic of women that doesn't normally get attention, whether it's dark-skinned women, whether it's larger women, older women, educated women, single mothers. Oh, there's a cadre of wealthy men, fabulous men waiting to meet you. You just do these simple tricks. And then join my coaching and you're going to have access to all of these wealthy, amazing men who want to spoil you. That is a pretty lie. And just like with dealers, the first hit's free. But if you want that validation to keep on coming, if you want him to keep feeding you, more of that affirmation apparently is going to cost you $10,000. You may not like this uncomfortable truth that you're more likely to be unalived or your children harmed than you are to meet Prince Charming out there on dating sites, but at least it's free.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah,
it's like the opposite.
It's definitely the opposite. I will say, in defense of our original girl, she did spend money on improving herself. As we said, I was like, well, she's got 5 coaches, one of which is a dating coach. She's been to 30 plus conferences. Our girl is spending the money to improve herself.
And I really don't think that people should be made to feel silly for putting time and effort into finding a partner.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's a really lovely thing to have a life partner if that's the type of lifestyle that you want. I think the problem with the way society is structured is that it's set up to be the default option like life partnership isn't the right fit for everyone at every stage of their life. But if it's something that you do value and that you do want, like putting time and resources and effort into it is like that. That's you showing up for yourself. The problem is like when people take advantage of that desire and exploit it, or like we said at the beginning, make these grand promises that they can't actually follow through on.
I feel like some of the framing of it, like I get what she's saying on the one hand, especially about like this particular guy and his brand of advice.
Who blocked her,
which is a very crazy. Funny detail. My pushback, I guess, would be like this idea that it's like you spent $10,000 on a man. And I'm like, it's not really that she's spending $10,000 on a man. She spent $10,000 in an ideal world trying to learn how to date and find the right partner and get, you know, if this is working as it should work, which we can like put a pin in like the actual guy she paid to do this. But the idea of spending $10,000 to try and learn more about your dating style, what you want in a partner, how you want to pursue that type of partnership, working through that type of stuff, that actually, again, I don't think people should be shamed for that. That doesn't seem that insane to me. People can kind of spend their money on whatever they want.
And it has a big impact on your life.
Like you are actually putting money towards something that you want in your life and is going to give you happiness. So,
yeah, I guess I'm just doing the math and like whatever, right? So she's 39. She spent 13 years in a relationship with someone that like didn't really work out and was like kind of really bad for her. There are people out here who like have never done the dating apps, have never whatever. And like it is something to navigate. And if you spent like that long in a relationship that wasn't good for you, you do need some kind of something to figure out, okay, when is it a good time to leave? When is it a good time to draw boundaries? All this stuff. I think the 170 first dates is fucking insane. And I would never do that. I'd pay $10,000 to not. And I guess like for me, I guess the thing was, I guess I confused dating coach with matchmaker.
Right.
Because I'm like, I would love to focus on my career, make a bunch of money and then pay somebody to like vet and bring three people. Like, and then I go on the date with the three people and whatever. Like that sounds fun to me and whatever. But like, yeah, I think it's this whole other thing that you need to.
Because I don't think he's bringing her the date.
No, she's on Hinge and Bumble.
Right.
She says she found them on Hinge. She went on 170 Hinge dates.
Right.
So, yikes.
Yeah, that feels, it feels like the same thing we were talking about people who are addicted to going on dates just to have short-term connections. But it's like being addicted to going on dates for this, to like check them off this list for this like or other purpose,
just not being discerning in any way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just going on an actual date with like any person you match with instead of like having more clear goals. Like we said, like talking about earlier, of like so that you reduce the amount of dates, but have a better shot with each one.
Yeah. Cause it's like, is she just accepting every date and then doing the stuff she learned from the course, like
after.
Once she gets on the date,
right?
Like asking them these questions, because it's like you could probably actually ask some of these guys these questions ahead of time and the banter ahead of time and knock a few, get it down to at least 150.
Yeah, I would say you could even 30 a year is like crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of dates.
It's a lot of fucking dates. You just have no hobbies or free time. And I guess just to wrap that up, it's one of those tough things where it's like not anyone is 100% wrong or right. It's like I think that maybe looking at what Anwar is offering in terms of like the dating coach, it's not like you'll get a man in a year or whatever. It's more like how to date strategically or something. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think he said some incendiary things. That's a little bit too far. I feel like surely, you know, she wanted to spend $10,000. That's her right. Would I do it? No. Do I want to go on 170 dates? No. I also think Cecilia Regina is also saying like, you got to be more discerning. You're whatever. Be more. And then also like these people are preying on you and this and that. Do I think that it's again like a moral failing to try to spend time or effort on this? No. So nobody's wrong and nobody's right. And that's where the, for me, at least, I don't know what you guys think.
I think that dating coach is wrong.
Dating coach is wrong? Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't. If I did not agree with anything he said in his first video. So
I think
that,
his videos, yeah. But the website, what do you think about the website and the packages?
Whatever.
The packages, to me, like, the pricing is, like, whatever. But if that's the content that's in the package, yeah, exactly. Then I'm like, exactly. Well, exactly. Then I would not pay money to have someone tell me, like, guys think you're slutty if you sleep on the first date. Right. On the first date, I'm like, I can hear that for free.
I don't even know if my mom would say that to me, honestly. Yeah.
I'm probably biased because I do this as a job, but like, I would recommend that people spend like $300 on two individual sessions with a coach.
Yeah.
So that like they're getting tailored, specific information about their life, their situation, like, you know, rather than just watching content that's made for a mass audience.
Yeah,
because, yeah, what you want in a partner is so specific to you and, like, what boundaries you want, what you're okay with versus not, like...
And what parts of dating are hard for you.
Yeah.
It's different for different people.
And I feel like, and even that changes, like, so much because there's shit that I would, like, absolutely not when I was younger, and then now I'm like, I don't care, dude. Like,
yeah.
Are you gonna text me back?
Yeah.
Yes or no? We'll figure everything out later.
I mean, I do like. I feel like I see this with. I like love advice columns. That's like what I love, like Dear Prudence. I love all this stuff. And one of the things that I've noticed with like bad advice, which Dear Prudence is not. I love Dear Prudence. Is try, especially with dating. It's being like, if he does this, kick him to the curb. Unless it's something really extreme.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are some things where it's like, yeah, no.
If he wanted to, he would. And it's like, maybe he doesn't know that's what you want.
My
whole thing is, like, we have to tell people how we want to be treated and then see if they can do that.
Yeah.
Rather than expecting them to just somehow know.
Mm. Yeah, or, like, maybe he doesn't want to do this specific thing, but there are other things he does to express the same sentiment. You know what I mean? Like, like some guys aren't, I don't know, it doesn't come naturally to them to think to bring flowers, but they do show up in other ways.
The real thing is, like, if you say, hey, I really would appreciate flowers, do they bring you flowers?
Yeah, that's
right.
Is there
willingness to adapt to your specific desires?
And then if not, kick him to the curb.
He's grooming you.
He's grooming you.
Shout that about everything now.
I know. He's grooming you. Like, Jesus Christ. I will also say, like, when you were back to, like, the first thing when you were talking about, like, your ex-fiance who just left, I'm like, fuck, man. The true tragedy of this country is that, like, that is such an eggable offense. Like, you would egg somebody. I would egg somebody's house who left me like that. I would definitely prank call, like, if guys treat me wrong, I will, like, prank them for, like, a year. It's, like, crazy.
Well, I feel like in the initial aftermath, I handled it rather well, but now there is a book coming out where there's a little cartoon that looks just like
That's a good prank, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And it's probably cheaper than egging someone.
I mean, money from it.
So there you go. So you really mastered it.
I will say the loss of egging, like, that really is a loss of one of our great, like, nonviolent forms of retribution where it's like, we're going to make a big mess on you.
Yeah.
You've done wrong and now you're going to have to clean up this mess.
You're going to be yokey.
Exactly. So I'm like, what can we do? I mean, shaming cream, just nothing hits this.
I guess TPing, but even still, we don't know what the prices are. The prices are going up on all of our great public shaming rituals that... like, don't actually, like, cause harm to people.
Well, okay. Listen, all right? Allegedly, you didn't hear this from me. But if somebody, whatever, you could maybe possibly sign them up for robocalls. And that is free. Not that I've done that to any of my exes.
You can send a pizza to their place.
Yeah, but the pizza, there's somebody making it and there's someone whatever. But the robocalls, signing somebody up for robocalls.
That's a gold standard.
That's a beautiful piece of advice.
There we go.
And with that, I think we'll move on to our final segment. This is Grasshole of the Week, where we declare the person, people, businesses, coaches that need to log off the most. This week, I'm going to now declare a new theme, a new variety of grasshole, because now we've been doing the podcast for over a year, and sometimes it's like...
A year and a half.
So sometimes it's like celebrity grassholes or like CEOs using their business's account to comment on stuff. Yeah. This is a new varietal now, which is travel influencers behaving badly.
Ooh, love it.
We talked about an American influencer who went to Australia and picked up a wombat.
That's horrible.
It was a whole thing. She shouldn't have touched that wombat. This week's grasshole is 24-year-old YouTuber Mikhailo Vitriovich Polyakov from, wait for it, Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh my God.
So, okay, why is Mikhailo grasshole? Mikhailo was arrested by Indian authorities after sneaking into the restricted territory of North Sentinel Island and filming a video in which he leaves a can of Diet Coke for the remote tribe that lives there. Have you guys ever heard of North Sentinel Island? It's kind of like an internet meme-y thing. It'll pop up every once in a while.
Isn't that the one where they like killed the missionary?
Yes.
They straight up killed that missionary.
Yes,
guy.
We will.
The Mormon guy.
We will discuss. He was regular Christian, I think.
Oh, really? Wow. I thought it was Mormon.
No, just super evangelical, I think.
Oh, geez.
But I'll double check because you might be right. And often you are. I didn't know it was on my shirt. So I'll double check.
Yeah. But yes. Okay. So that's what I know about the Sentinel Islands.
I don't think I'm familiar.
Okay. So North Sentinel Island is an island. It's in the Bay of Bengal. So like technically it belongs to like India is it takes care of it. It's in the care of the Indian government. But it is home to what may be the last uncontacted tribe of people on Earth. So the people who are like indigenous to this island, they have consistently rejected contact with the outside world, and it's illegal to contact them at this point. From the bits that people have been able to see, they live in kind of like basic structures. They fish using canoes. They don't wear clothes, and they exist. Archaeologists have dated it as like a Neolithic era tribe. They're like existing kind of in that world.
I'm nodding like I know what that means, but yeah.
They're doing the old times.
Yes,
the Neolithic.
Yeah.
They don't know who Elon Musk is, and that's what you need to know. Are they living better than us? I don't know. They don't got AC, but they don't know what Twitter is, so.
Yeah, and you know what I'll also say is they've made it very clear they don't want to know.
Good for them.
So, like, anthropologists have tried to make contact with this tribe several times. They went in 1967, a team of 20 people went to try and make peaceful contact. But when they got there, basically all the Sentinelese just hid and stayed hidden until they left. So like they didn't even come out. Further attempts to make contact in the 1970s and 80s were rejected. One thing that stuck out to me was that I was reading about all these different like attempts to contact them. All of them involved like leaving a coconut for them or trying to float coconuts to them. Like it's like very coconut based contact.
Yeah.
Which I mean, if someone gives me a coconut, like I'm happy with that too.
Do they already have coconuts?
Yeah, that's kind of my question is I'm like, what makes us think that they want coconuts? But it does seem like pretty universally agreed upon by the people who are studying it. They're all trying to give them coconuts. So I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's a misconception about an uncontacted tribe that they would want coconuts.
I'm like, maybe bottled water. I'm wondering if we could do a trade because it seems like they're the ultimate like people who are logged off.
Yes.
They're not online at all. And I'm like, I want like this is not they obviously wouldn't be interested in this. I'm like, I wonder if we can give them resources to take one of these people that like J.K. Rowling and like J.K. Rowling lives amongst them for like a month.
I would never subject them to J.K. Rowling. No. I would never.
I would put her in a forest by herself.
Yeah, I was like, she can go to an island.
Yeah, I'm like, can we get, but you know, get an island for them to just be on?
Well, they are on their island.
Yeah, but I mean, but the
J.K.
Rowling.
I mean, yeah, but they want to be. Unfortunately, people who are grassholes deeply want to be connected to the internet, whereas the Sentinelese definitely don't. In 2006, they killed two fishermen who accidentally floated ashore. And as Millie mentioned, the big thing that I think like got North Sentinel Island, like people were talking about it a lot during this time, was that in 2018, an American missionary named John Allen Chu went to the island to try to convert them to Christianity. He like brought a Bible and went.
And smallpox just to make sure.
So he actually, I will say, on John Allen Chu's behalf, he did go get like every vaccine before going because he was like aware that he could bring diseases to them, which is part of the reason why it's illegal for anybody to go there, because we don't know if they've ever like come in contact with any of the stuff that we've got. But they killed him pretty much immediately with a bunch of arrows. And then
But he was vaxxed, so we don't know.
He was. Yeah.
That, yeah, it's him. That might have been the problem.
Yeah.
Full of arrows. Vaxxed. Yeah.
An unvaccinated body can reject arrows.
Yeah, it's true. It's because, yeah, it's like if he had unvaccinated sperm.
And also his body was never recovered, but like planes flew over and they saw the Sentinelese burying him. So
wow.
Anyway, they don't want people to go there. And it's also illegal to go there. But that did not stop our guy, Mikhailo Polyakov. So
of Scottsdale, Arizona.
So this is his YouTube page. It says 3.11K subscribers. So I'm kind of does that mean 300,000, 311,000? There's a
3,110 subscribers.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, his handle is at Neo-Orientalist, which I don't love. I don't know what that means. I don't like it. He has 19 videos, and most of them are him firing guns with the Taliban. So,
cool. Oh, boy.
So this is like post-Vice. It's like sending an obnoxious white guy to like the most dangerous environment.
Yeah, but he's self-funding. Like, it's not even like a media company that's like trying to do it under the guise of journalism. He's just, I think, trying to do this dark tourism thing where he like goes places you're not supposed to go. But as far as I can tell, he really just did the Taliban and then was trying to follow that up with North Sentinel Island. So,
see, he couldn't do this at BuzzFeed in 2014. I'll tell you that.
I'm sure someone was trying.
I bet Vice would have done.
Vice
would have absolutely tried to go to North Sentinel Island. But okay,
Vice would have been hung out with the Taliban and get this little white boy like smacked in the face.
Yeah, Vice would have had an ad out for comedians to go to North Sentinel Island, and they would have paid you a stipend of like $5,000.
I went on. Speaking of dating, I went on Action Bronson's dating show. Blind date.
Yeah, also the $5,000, it would have been net 200 days to receive it.
net 200 days that you, and then they'd get the W-2 tax out of it.
Yeah, they'd say,
so it's really $1,500.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, we actually forgot to send you the form, so it's another net 200. Anyway, that's some media times jokes for people. Some jokes for people who have worked in media before. Anyway, according to the New York Times, Polyakov traveled to India and set off for North Sentinel Island on March 29th, so like 2 weeks ago. This did take a lot of planning because like you're not allowed to go there. So he had to like research places on the beach where he could like sneak away, and then also like the tides and sea conditions.
He swam there?
No, he had a little blow-up motorboat.
Okay.
He took a blow-up motorboat, a GPS, and a GoPro.
And this guy survived?
Yes. That's what's so crazy. Gets to North Sentinel Island. What does he bring? A coconut. He leaves a coconut.
Okay.
So he did. Everyone who's researched this is bringing a coconut. So who am I to say?
Yeah.
But I also am like, they don't seem to want the coconut that bad because it hasn't enticed them to do business with anybody.
I would have left an iPad or something.
So here's what he did leave. He gets there. He doesn't see anybody. He just gets to shore. I don't think he went too far deep in. So I guess his death wish ended at a certain point. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll make it to the beach, but I'm not going in. He didn't see anybody. So
because John Chu didn't even make it to the beach. He was on a fucking boat.
Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. No,
he was on a boat approaching and he got arrowed.
Yeah.
He was vaxxed, so who knows?
The North Sentinelese, they'll like shoot arrows at planes that fly overhead. They don't want you to go there. They have made
stay
it very
the
clear.
Fuck away.
They've
yeah.
said, stay the fuck away.
So the fact that he touched the land yeah. is a big deal.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want these coconuts. Like, stay away from us. But he did also leave a Diet Coke.
People love so... Diet Coke. I don't know.
I know, but I'm also like, what would it do to an indigenous, uncontacted person who we don't even know what their immune system has going on for them to drink a Diet Coke?
Also, was it unopened or opened?
That is my thing, is did he crack that thing open?
I hope not. Sure.
And also, if it's plastic, I'm like, don't give them plastic.
No.
They're the only people left that don't have plastic in their brains and in their all their sperm and all their stuff. They might be our last plasticless people.
Wow.
And then if it's a can, I'm like, well, they're probably like, what the fuck is this? I mean, maybe they would eventually smash it and all the Diet Coke would come out. But how are they even going to know to? I remember when I was a little kid, I had to be taught how to open a can. Like, it's not intuitive if you've never seen.
Well, hashtag bean dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he left a Diet Coke and then he left. And I guess as he got back on the boat, he started like blowing a whistle, trying to get them to come out. But they didn't come out. I think that they said, we're not even dealing with this clown. We don't want his coconut. We don't want his can.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe this is, I'm too skeptical that he was even in the right place.
Wow.
You know, that's a great question. Right? It seems like, the Indian authorities are pissed. So
he was close.
But like, I don't enough. Know that they didn't do any, like maybe he just was in the wrong part of the island or something.
There are other islands around there because, okay. So then he gets arrested on the 31st and he was returned to Port Blair, which is the capital of Andaman on, and it's the capital of the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. So he was like in a islanded area. It's an archipelago. Not that I know necessarily what an archipelago is. This isn't an archipelago podcast.
No.
I'm going to take a swing.
Yeah.
I think it's when it's like there's it's surrounded by water on three sides.
Ooh.
Isn't that a peninsula?
Yeah.
And yeah. Archipelago is...
No, I just took a swing. I don't think I'm right.
Yeah. Is it once again being wrong and then accepting? You're right. I think
yeah, that's Florida is a peninsula. Yeah. So
oh,
yeah, archipelago
yeah.
is...
Oh, never mind. Else. At least my mom said, so she didn't hear me get yeah. that wrong.
Oh, well...
She would have been not happy with me.
Okay, well, I don't know how to respond to that. Allison, I don't know how to respond to you saying at least my mom's dead so she wouldn't hear. Like,
she was very particular about accuracy and geography.
Wow.
Wow.
So she would have
taught me a lot. Yeah, she would have.
So she would have gone to Sentinel Island. She would have been.
She would have gone to the right place, but she would have never have dared to.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. She didn't like to impose.
What is this? No, that's, and you know what? Good for her. What is this white boy obsession with is it something genetic? Let's ask our producer.
Connor?
Is there something genetic with these white men? Why do you have to go somewhere where you're not wanted, where people don't fuck with you? Why are you obsessed with that? That's how that guy Otto died. He crashed to North Korea and shit got hot for him. I'm just like, why are you obsessed with
shit getting hot? Well, also going to the woods.
I mean, the woods, whatever. Do your thing, Henry David.
But that's
what is
into
it?
The wild. He died because he went out way too remote.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I don't know. There's something about like having all the privilege and power in the world given to you and then wanting to go one place. The only
well, that's
place.
Why I'm not interested in anyone who goes to Mount Everest. Like, I'm not interested in, like, hardship you've brought upon yourself
yeah.
for no reason other than to be like, I did it.
Yeah.
This was my friend yeah. who said he had a problem with the movie Twister. He's like,
yeah,
they're
totally.
Going into the disaster.
Totally.
I don't feel bad for these people
yeah,
who are driving straight into the tornadoes.
Yeah, I'm like, that's probably pretty dangerous. I read a book once by a lady who climbed Mount Everest, and just her describing it, I was like, this sounds fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't breathe. It's freezing. You could start just dying because your body is just not meant to do it. And at that point, you have to turn around. Like, some people just don't make it because they're like not, their body's like, no, I'm actually just going to die right here. Like, I can't.
Mean, it's real.
I can't be doing that. I don't know. But that's also, I'm like, this guy is starting so hardcore with his dark tourism. Like, he's like, I'm going to go to the Taliban and then I'm going to go to North Sentinel Island. And like, I'm like,
you swung high. You could have scaled up because I feel like there's a whole season of Vice doing this where they would go to like a black neighborhood and buy something at a corner store. And they'd be like, oh, my God, So to start with the Taliban, I mean, there's not much more you can go from.
Yeah, here. I'm like, I don't know, man. Go to Chernobyl. I think people go there and walk around.
Go to church. How about you talk to God? Yeah. Talk to Jesus if you want to go.
Exactly. Okay, so
he got arrested.
He got arrested. He's charged with the crime of trying to interact with the North Sentinelese people. Like, that in and of itself is a crime. You're not supposed to do that. He will appear in court for the first time on April 17th. So the day after this podcast comes out will be his day in court, which means he's been in Indian jail for like 2 weeks. And
that
I'm like, that's not cool. I wouldn't want to be in any jail. I don't want to be in American jail. I don't have any thought that American jail is particularly nice at all. I feel like I really don't want to be in Indian jail for 2 weeks.
Hell no.
I'm not trying to go to jail in a foreign country. I'm not trying to go to jail ever, but I feel like being in jail in a foreign country, now I'm like in a situation where I'm like, I don't even know what the rules are here. Yeah. I don't know.
Like language, potentially. Yeah,
potential language barrier. Like,
You're not really even supposed to be looking someone in the eye in jail for like a month in America. Like, there's this girl who's on TikTok. My FYP is like, this girl from Staten Island is like, how I survived jail for 2 years.
Oh, I've seen her.
And
yes.
I'm like, and she's like, don't look at anybody. If someone leaves a sweater there, don't be like, hey, you left a sweater. Just mind your own business and all this shit. And I'm like,
that is helpful.
Well, but
jail,
I'm like,
coach.
Jail coach. There you go,
That's
Shirley.
That's worth some money.
I'll pay $10,000 for a jail coach.
So he could face 5 years in prison for doing this.
Yep.
It's serious, which makes sense because it's like, if the punishment wasn't kind of serious, people... especially YouTubers with GoPros who are trying to do this type of shit, be like weird, again, dark tourism, Jake Paul or whatever he's trying to do, like they would go. So I understand why it's very much a crime. The police said that during their questioning of him, he disclosed that he was drawn to the island out of a passion for adventure and his desire to undertake extreme challenges.
Jesus Christ.
So that's his answer to your
question. Well, that's, you know. Indian jail.
Yeah.
Great.
You're about to take on a pretty extreme challenge, which is being in jail on this like island for 5 years. The other thing that the police said is that he has done this before. So in October, hotel staff stopped him in his attempt to go to North Sentinel Island using an inflatable kayak. And then in January, he did reach Baratong Island, which is in the archipelago, whatever that is, and he illegally videographed the Jarawa tribe. So, Mikhailo, for the literal crime of going to contact the North Sentinelese...
For content,
for your YouTube that's only videos of you hanging out with the Taliban.
Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, I have to say, it's Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. So he probably was just hanging out with random guys.
But I think the way he markets other videos is like him holding guns and being like,
I think he got taken for a ride.
Yeah.
I think like he wasn't hanging out with the Taliban.
He certainly thinks he was.
He thinks he was, but I think he was just like at like a meeting. Okay. Like just a regular community hangout.
So for all of those crimes, we have to say, Mikhailo, go touch grass.
Allison.
You are a wonderful guest.
Wonderful guest.
What a ride we went on. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, buy your book, follow you, pay you $10,000.
Yeah, pay you $10,000 to go on 170 Hinge dates.
You can find Save the Date anywhere books are sold. It's a feel-good rom-com that's more calm than spice. So I don't want to,
There's no smut. It's not porn.
Well, if you're looking for your spicy romance book, this isn't it. But if you're looking for a lot of laughs and some very, I hope, charming banter, then Save the Date is available for you.
Yeah. Where's the fuck?
It's called a closed door romance.
Oh. So you're just like, they lead to it and the door is closed. Mm. Okay. So like a 50s.
Or like an R-rated film rather than an X-17 or whatever. Yeah. And then you can listen to my podcast, Just Between Us, every week. And also my Substack is called Emotional Support Lady, where I talk about all things mental health all the time. And all my stuff is on AllisonRaskin.com, including my socials, which is just at Allison Raskin.
That is wonderful. Well, everyone, find Allison. Follow her. buy the book. And remember, you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Elise Navidad on TikTok and Pandalise on Instagram.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on TikTok and Instagram. You can follow me, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter, Blue Sky, and everything else. And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
And I'm Olivia Allen.
And we host the podcast
Broad Ideas.
Yes, that's now on HeadGum. On our show, we chat with people like Brittany Snow, Lucy Hale, Kristen Bell, Margaret Cho, Jake Johnson, and so much more.
And we talk about all the things you would talk about with your best friend.
Like your periods.
And mental illness.
And the food you ate for lunch.
Most importantly.
Listen to Broad Ideas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jake Johnson, and I host the HeadGum Podcast, We're Here to Help, with my partner, Gareth Reynolds. We're Here to Help is a call-in advice show. Think car talk from back in the day. We're determined to help fix life's dumbest problems. We also have guest helpers join us from the entire cast of New Girl to Michael Cera, Andy Samberg, Jimmy Kimmel, just to name a few. So do me a favor and come check out an episode and then bounce around our catalog. We're over 150 episodes so far, so there's plenty of stories for you to discover. Subscribe to We're Here to Help on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop every Monday, and bonus episodes drop on Wednesdays.